Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo here with you, filling in for Sean Carey for the rest of the week. Sean has a couple of scheduled days off, so I'll be in with you guys for the rest of the week. Steve Jones coming up soon from the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, our sponsor for today's show, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai on the 4th Street Auto Plaza. You can follow the show on Twitter at SteveJonesPSU or at SteveJonesShow on Facebook as well for all the latest sports news and notes, Penn State news and notes as well, and also the show podcast. We're at SteveJonesShow on Facebook. Give us a like, and also at SteveJonesShow.com as well. And you can also get all the podcasts on iTunes and Google Play as well. A jam-packed and action-packed show here this afternoon for today, highlighted by former Penn State tight end Mike Gesicki, of course now the first-year Miami Dolphin, getting ready to start his rookie season with the Dolphins. He was the 42nd overall pick in the second round of this past NFL draft. So we'll hear from Mike at 4:06 today, and plenty to get into with him because I don't think we really talked to him since he got drafted back in April. So chance to catch up with him of how the process was like for him, how his first couple of months have been in an NFL uniform, how it's like now in this dead period where unbelievably just 5 weeks away from the start of training camp. And also, looks like he may get a lot of looks on offense this year, too, with the way the Dolphins have had with their offseason, of course, losing Jarvis Landry. He's now with the Cleveland Browns. Ryan Tannehill coming back under center after sitting out last season with that knee injury he suffered in the preseason of last year. Of course, the Dolphins were led by Jay Cutler then. So, a lot of interesting things to get into with Mike Gesicki, and he'll be joining us at 4:06 today. Of course, tonight is the NBA draft at 7 o'clock, and we'll have Pete Jensen joining us today on the show as well, and lots to get into for the NBA draft. Of course, when you look at the NBA as a whole, what might happen tonight, a lot of rumors starting between who might trade up, who might trade down, what guys teams are interested in, and a lot will ride on what the Philadelphia 76ers do tonight. I know we've talked about them a little bit the last few weeks, especially after the Brian Colangelo fallout, and right now the Sixers have 5 picks overall. They have 2 in the first round at 10 and 26, and they have 3 in the second round. They originally had 4, but they just traded number 39 away to the Knicks last night for a 2019 second round pick and cash. So that gives them 5 overall draft picks for heading into tonight. And the Sixers, they're a team. They've been rumored to trade up in the draft. Not sure exactly who that might be for. Might be a guy like Wendell Carter. Could be for possibly Trae Young. I know there's been some interest there. Could be Michael Porter Jr. I think there's interest from the Sixers as well. But the guy I think that's the best fit for them, and I think would be best right there at 10, I think he could be there at 10, is Mikal Bridges, of course, from Villanova, the junior small forward. But right now, in this mock draft from CBS Sports, Mikal Bridges right now is projected to go 9th to the Knicks, which, of course, is right in front of the Sixers. So if they feel like he may not be there at 10, then possibly you might see the Sixers go up and try to get Mikal Bridges, who the Sixers have had in for a couple of workouts. Another guy, too, to keep a lookout for the Sixers tonight is Kentucky freshman small forward Kevin Knox, who was just in Philly for a second workout the other day. And right now he is projected to go at number 10 to the Sixers, which I wouldn't hate that pick, but I think Mikal Bridges is the best fit for the Sixers. A guy that can do it all, a guy that can shoot, a guy that can play defense, gives you more size to play with alongside Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. I think he really says it all there. If the Sixers do trade up, I wouldn't hate it if they got Mohamed Bamba, the freshman center from Texas. Obviously, he has the big wingspan. He can do a lot of things on the defensive end, too. And Luka Doncic is also someone who I might be interested in if I'm the Sixers, from Slovenia. Guy that can shoot, too. So we'll see there. But overall, I like the Sixers maybe getting Mikal Bridges, and I think they got a very good chance to get him. But if they feel like he's not going to be there at 10, then you definitely might see them try to trade up tonight. And they also could trade back if that stuff doesn't work out, to try and have them move up. They're going to try and use 10 and 26 to do so. Mikal Bridges isn't there, and they stay at 10. They don't like how the board's developing at that point. I could very much see them being traded to trade back in that situation, where you could maybe see teams like the Hornets, the Clippers, who are actually a back-to-back picks of 12 and 13, may trade up to get somebody. So we'll have to see. Another one to keep a lookout for tonight is a PA product. Has a very good chance to go to get drafted inside the top 15 tonight. That's Redding's Lonnie Walker, who, of course, had the freshman outstanding year at Miami last year. According to this latest mock draft on CBS Sports, he is projected to go to the Wizards at 15. One other one I saw yesterday had him going to the Clippers at 13, so we'll definitely have to keep an eye on that. And, of course, we'll see where Tony Parker goes, if he even gets drafted tonight. Later on the second round, of course, Tony Parker, the Penn State product, and we've talked about that with Steve Jones, and we'll talk to Pete Jensen about this and other topics around the NBA.
Ready for the draft tonight.
And again, that's at 7 o'clock. Also joining us today will be Chris Mack. He's the pre- and post-game show host as well for 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. So a lot to get to, Steve.
Yeah, a lot to get to, and Mike Gesicki, of course, the centerpiece of it at 4:06 today. Great to have you on board here, Matt. And
absolutely. Good to be back.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of, to me, the entire interest in the draft tonight deals with one person and one person only, and that's Tony Carr, for obvious reasons. Okay? But then after that, my honest assessment of the draft is this. I think there are some good players in the draft, and almost every one of them, if you put them to a good to decent team, would help that team take the next step. But not one of them is going to do anything to suddenly make dramatic advances for a mediocre team.
Totally agree.
That's the way it is. It's interesting that when you hear them talk about Luka Doncic from Europe, they say, you know, good teams love him, mediocre teams don't. Well, guess what? You just label the entire draft. DeAndre Ayton, I think, is going to be a really good player. I do think he's going to be a really good player. I think he's got all the skills, the whole nine yards, Matt. I mean, I think he's going to be good. Will he take the Philadelphia 76ers to will he take the Phoenix Suns to a level of, whoa, hey. No. I think he will be an important part of the Suns renaissance if he's there 5 years from now. But he won't dramatically change their fortunes this year. Now, I want to point out, though, the Suns are an extremely young team. I believe statistically the Suns are the youngest team in the NBA. And, of course, adding Ayton will mean they'll be even younger. Not exactly adding a grizzled veteran here.
Yeah, a lot of freshmen right here in the top 10 projected.
Yeah, and see, but that's the nature of the league. That's why, for example, when people talk about, well, he should go back for another year. Okay. And if you go back for another year, what happens? Do you increase your draft stock? Now, a guy like, for example, Mo Wagner is going to end up probably being in that late first, early second. So, yeah, he helped his draft stock by doing that. But you do not help your draft stock, usually, in today's NBA draft, by staying an extra year and suddenly, voila, you're a lottery pick. That doesn't happen. The perfect example is sitting probably in the 10 to 13 range, and that is Miles Bridges. Miles Bridges shocked everyone last year. I mean, when I did the Penn State-Michigan State game at what was then Verizon Center, it's now Capital One Center, where the Wizards play. I mean, Matt, I said straight out on the broadcast, this will probably be the last time you see him play against Penn State. I mean, I thought he was going to the NBA. I thought it was pretty, in today's world, today's game, that's what happens. Well, I was shocked he came back. What was even more interesting is that his mother was shocked he came back. And Tom Izzo was completely shocked he came back. Izzo asked him several times, are you sure? Well, he came back. Now, he came back not to increase his draft stock, though, Matt. He did not do that. That's not the reason why he came back. He came back because, well, okay, the NBA's there. He loves college. He likes playing at Michigan State, likes playing for Izzo, so he wanted to play one more year with his teammates, his buddies, things like that. That's what he wanted to do. I mean, that happens. Okay, that happens. But did he, by staying an extra year and having a really good year, and Miles Bridges had a really good year. He didn't have an off-the-charts great year, but he had a really good year. Shot the ball well, passed the ball well, did all the stuff you see Miles Bridges do. I mean, Jackson, his teammate's going to be the third overall pick in the draft, they think. Third or fourth. Okay. But Miles Bridges is the better all-around player. Miles Bridges is going to have the better NBA career. Miles Bridges does not disappear in games. Jaren Jackson, there are moments where you're not sure he's on the roster. He just disappears. He doesn't assert himself. Doesn't assert himself in any way. But did Miles Bridges help his stock staying an extra year? Again, a talented player that last year was considered a lottery pick. He was considered to be between 8 and 14. So, Matt, where is he projected this year?
Same spot. Right now in this latest mock draft by CBS Sports, he's projected 14 to the Nuggets.
Yeah, he's between 8 and 15. He's the same spot, if not maybe one or two spots down from where they thought he was a year ago. And he did nothing wrong. But every year you get an influx of players. I will say this. Next year, I expect a slightly more veteran draft. You want to know why? Because the freshman class that is entering this year across the country is not deep. That was one of the arguments for some players staying an extra year. Because next year's draft should not have as many one-and-dones in it because there is not a great depth of the incoming freshman class that they think can do it.
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't hate it for the Sixers at all if they indeed do trade back tonight from number 10. If they get Miles Bridges somewhere in those that teen range,
I would take Mikal Bridges.
Oh yeah, he's number one for me, and I think the Sixers want him too.
To me, Mikal Bridges is this year's Paul Pierce, the veteran guy, a little bit older guy that knows how to play the game, and Mikal Bridges understands how to play defense.
That's what I love about him the most. And the Sixers can use more guys that can play defense. Yeah.
Defense, length, knows how to use his length, and has developed a good offensive game. I think Mikal Bridges is to this draft in his draft spot, because Pierce was, what, a 10th overall pick? Something like that. In this spot, veteran player, knows how to play the game, he is to this draft what Paul Pierce was to his draft. All right, we'll take a break. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors needs your truck. Whether it's a Ford, Chevy, Dodge, or even an import, SFC will give you the most money for your truck. Period. Sunbury Motors is going to make it easy for you to trade, too, with a selection of over 125 new Ford trucks with savings up to $13,650. New 2018 Ford F-150s start as low as $25,993. And SFC has four city blocks of new trucks to choose from. New arrivals include four special edition 2018 Ford Raptors and the all-new blacked-out 2018 F-250 Terminator. A must-see. The 2018 Ford F-150 is Motor Trend's Truck of the Year and has been America's best-selling truck for 41 consecutive years. One is sold every 39 seconds. Sunbury Motors has an awesome selection, including regular cabs, Super Cruise, with STX, XLT, Lariat, and King Ranch trucks clearly marked with blowout prices. See why SMC is Central Pennsylvania's Ford Truck Capital. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza.
Media outlet can have a great conversation about something. But what I find interesting is that the worldwide leader is not a source of some of those. The best conversation I heard in a Q&A about sports betting before the Supreme Court made a ruling was on Golf Channel. It wasn't on the worldwide leader. Last night, I heard a great conversation on MLB Network about youth sports. Greg Alzheimer, who's Greg has done several BTN games basketball-wise. So, you know, you go to shoot-arounds, and I've got a chance to really know him. You know, and he has an 8-year-old son, and Greg is really a great guy to talk to. Fun guy, smart guy. And he led the conversation last night with Joe Girardi, the former Yankees manager, and former Philly and Hall of Famer Jim Thome. And it was about youth sports. And it was fabulous. He asked, they were talking, because Greg's son is an eight. He's right now he's in kid pitch, which I've just watched my grandson go through. And he said, what's the first tip you should have for a parent? And Joe Girardi said right away, he says, you know what? The first thing I do after a game, no matter what kind of game he had, I try to pick out the one positive thing right away. It's the first thing I tell him. First thing. Because I want him to enjoy it and love it and, you know, feel like he's doing something and accomplishing it. Something with it. He said, then if he wants to bring up, well, I struck out three times. Okay, let's talk about that a little bit. So, I mean, what'd you see? What was the, you know, maybe I saw something. Yeah, maybe you ought to try this. He said, that's why you need to teach them at that age. Then Jim Thome was echoing the same thing. He said, the last thing, he says, you don't want, as the coach or the parents, like kids in the field and you're yelling at them. He says, that it doesn't do anything. It's shutdown time. And then they both said, and Greg asked a great question. He said, and everyone knows how I feel about this, because I feel very strongly about this. He said, what about having them play other sports? The two of them said, absolutely. Let them be an athlete. In fact, we're going to have somebody on that's an athlete at 4:06 today in high school, played volleyball, basketball, and football. Mike Kosicki played all three in high school. And volleyball, I think, if I recall correctly, volleyball, Mike enjoyed it, but Mike did it for fun. Guess what? It's okay for a great athlete to have fun in another sport. Sometimes the primary sport feels like a job if you go out and do something else. And I think there's another part. I think it keeps the young person fresh. They're kids. Let them have fun. It's all right.
Oh, you got to play baseball. You got to get a scholarship. You've got to do it.
No, look. No. Show some leeway. Let them have some fun. Find the positives in every single endeavor they're in. Then, if they want to talk about, hey, you know, I struck out three times, or
As a volleyball player, I mishit eight of them. What did you see? Well, I saw this. Maybe we should work on that.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Pete Jensen from NHL.com in just a few moments. It's not the only draft going on, is the NBA draft tonight. The NHL's having its draft coming up as well. We're going to talk to Pete about that. Mike Gesicki, former Nittany Lion, now with the Miami Dolphins, will be joining us at 4:06. And then we'll talk with Frank Bodani of the York Daily Record in the final half hour of the show today. It's great to have you on board. Great to have Matt Cotrillo here today. Sean gets a well-deserved day off. He certainly has gone through his fair share here in the last couple of weeks. And Matt has been tremendous, stepping up and making sure everything's been running smoothly, as Matt's been not only a great employee, but a good friend to Sean to do this. So it's really appreciated. This day in sports history, 1932, heavyweight boxer Max Schmeling lost a title fight decision to Jack Sharkey. Schmeling's manager, Joe Jacobs, exclaimed, "We was robbed." 1939, Lou Gehrig quit baseball because it turned out to be ALS. You know, ALS, Matt, think about this. 1939, so you're talking 79 years, so it's almost 80 years now since Lou Gehrig was forced to quit baseball with what turns out to be ALS. Now, I haven't read enough about it, but it just it seems like one of those diseases so tough to fight that very little progress in 80 years has been made. I see Tim Shaw. I see Steve Smith. A couple of former Penn State football players. I mean, think of the tens of millions of dollars for research that the late Jerry Lewis raised. And it just seems like I'm sure there's progress somewhere.
Yeah, it's taken a lot of good people.
I'm sure there's been progress somewhere. It's just, but no leaps and bounds. 1942, Ben Hogan recorded the lowest score at that time in major golf. He shot a 271 for 72 holes. Let's see. Australian John Landy ran the mile in 3 minutes 58 seconds. He was the second person to break the 4-minute barrier after Roger Bannister. 1963 in St. Louis, Bob Hayes set a record in the 100-yard dash at 9.1 seconds. The Dallas Cowboys looked at him and said, "We like that." Actually, Hayes won the gold medal in the 64 Tokyo Olympics. Then he went to the Dallas Cowboys. Tony Jacklin becomes the second British golfer in 50 years to win the U.S. Open Golf Tournament in 1970. WNBA makes its debut in 1997 in this date. And that is a look at this day in sports history. The NBA draft is tonight. But conservatively, don't start looking for Tony Carr until it gets to 45. Maybe realistically, maybe not till 50, but let's say 45 to 60 to just give a nice wide range. Because it's a talk show. It's what we do. And so 45 to 60 somewhere in there. So if you're looking for him, it's going to take a while. And it should be in the latter stages of the second round. So that's on the table tonight. But that's not the only draft happening this weekend. The NHL entry draft takes place. And with that, we welcome in Pete Jensen from NHL.com. Pete, how are you?
Thanks for having me, Steve. And yeah, it's going to be an interesting draft, not only with the players taken, but it seems like there's going to be a lot of trade movement here. There were a couple of trades this past week, and we expect that to carry over to draft night and maybe even the day after. So there are a lot of coveted 2018 free agents and also 2019. If you look at the list, it's ridiculous. So a lot of those guys could be moved in their contract years if their teams feel like they might not be able to re-sign them.
All right, so the NHL draft is interesting. What is every draft is different because you wonder about the quality of depth in a draft, and you usually get a pretty good read. What's the read that some of the people around the league and the people in your office have about the depth of quality in this draft?
Yeah, there are a number of coveted prospects early on. There's a lot of strong defensemen. There's a guy Quinn Hughes from the United States. That the Big Ten teams would know. I mean, he's probably going to go in the mid top 10. Obviously, the first pick is one of the strongest defenseman prospects in recent memory, Rasmus Dahlin from Sweden. He's probably going to go to the Buffalo Sabres. And he's a guy that could step right in and play 20 plus minutes a game, produce on the power play, part in the turnaround of that franchise. And then as we get deeper, there are a lot of prospects from, the European countries, right, the Scandinavian countries. There are a bunch of from Halifax in the junior league. So, I think a lot of these first round picks could stick. I mean, we might see a little bit more of these guys playing in the NHL in year one than we've seen in years past. So it's going to be really interesting. And of course, in the NHL draft, there are always guys in the second, third, fourth rounds who come out of nowhere and end up being top level players for the years to come. So, once you get to the second, third, fourth rounds, it's a bit of a crapshoot. But early on, I think with all the emphasis on prospect development for all these teams, and it's becoming a little bit more streamlined and effective. So each of these teams, a couple of them have multiple. I know that both have multiple picks in the first round. The Islanders might trade one of them. They have 11 and 12, and then the Rangers have three picks in the first round. Both of those teams missing the playoffs last year. So a lot of teams missing the playoffs have a chance to turn things around very quickly because of this draft.
Terry Pegula's Buffalo Sabres had the first overall pick. What are the options there? Obviously, they have the option of anybody, but what are the defined options?
Yeah, it's going to be Rasmus Dahlin, who I mentioned. Yep. And then the other option is a Russian wing, Andrei Svechnikov. He's probably going to be the number two pick to the Carolina. And then Montreal has a really tough, use a defenseman. They could use a top-line center. There's a kid from Finland, Kotkaniemi, who's he was originally going to be like maybe a top 15 pick, and now we've seen him rise in the draft boards. And maybe even Montreal, because of positional need at center, could consider him and really blow up the whole thing with the third pick. But certainly, Pegula and the Sabres need a defenseman badly. And I mentioned, Rasmus Dahlin from Sweden. He's going to make an immediate impact next season, and he would address the biggest area of weakness for the Sabres, who, had the top-ranked power play in the league two seasons ago, so they have offensive capability. And I think it would be really interesting if they take Dahlin, because Phil Housley, the coach of the Sabres, is actually he had the most points of any 18-year-old defenseman in NHL history, and he's going to be coaching this guy. So what a great storyline that's going to be.
It really is. And if you put now him in combination with Jack Eichel, now that changes the quality up front and on the blue line for the Sabres.
Yeah, definitely. And you look at how it could help the offense, but also the defense, and particularly Rasmus Ristolainen, who was a guy that was top five in the NHL this year in time on ice per game. So up there with guys like Drew Doughty, Ryan Suter, Erik Karlsson was Ristolainen, but he wasn't very effective and efficient because he played for a team with all sorts of problems on the front end and back end. He was playing major minutes because they really didn't have anybody else to lean on in that regard. So I'm really interested to see whether Dahlin can play either on separate pairs of Ristolainen, maybe even the same pair, because one's left, one's right, shooting defenseman. So that's going to be a great thing for the Sabres to explore moving forward. And, yeah, I expect them to be much more competitive next season, no doubt.
Now let's get to the Penguins, Pete. They don't pick until 53. So, do you see a trade? Do you see them keeping it? What's the word about what the Penguins' options are?
Yeah, I probably expect it. I think it's you can never have too many prospects for your, you know, they have a great system. That said, they have a pretty roster right now. They exit in the second round this year to the Washington Capitals for a very strong team moving forward. I'm interested more to see about Phil Kessel. There's been a lot of trade rumors, whether they're true or not. His name has been linked to trade talks around the league. So, and you remember Phil Kessel was playing on the third line away from Evgeny Malkin. So he took that, and how things are going to end up with Kessel, because he was such a vital producer during the two Stanley Cup seasons prior to this. And he had an amazing season on the first power play unit for the Penguins. So I think that's the big storyline heading into the draft, whether they're going to make a big trade like that, maybe to free up ace. But this Penguins, that would be more of a pick to use on a project for, you know, 2-3 years down the line, I think.
The NHL, of course, expanded with Las Vegas, and many thought that they would pick a second or as many as four expansion teams at the time Las Vegas went, they decided just to go with one. Have they at least informally put together some kind of timetable, Pete, to at least say yes or no on the next expansion?
Well, it seems like definitely this summer and the fall at the Board of Governors meetings, it's going to be Seattle on the agenda. Seattle just hired Dave Tippett, who was the coach of the Coyotes for many years, took them to the Western Conference Final 2012. They hired him the other day to be kind of like an executive type thing, and maybe he'll end up being their coach. Remains to be seen, but Seattle's made moves. Seattle, it seems like, is a great option. It's a great sports town with the Seahawks, Mariners, Sounders, so it's untapped potential for the NHL. The Vegas thing worked out, you know, just brilliantly. You couldn't have expected better, and I think that's another safe market where if everything between the lines works out well, that appears to be a likely option for, yeah, you know, maybe the next couple of years. It seems like they're going to decide on it in the next couple of months.
All right, that's what I was wondering, when they'll say yes or no. They could sit there and say no. Seattle has already sold out all of their season ticket. Not really, it's an allotment, but commitments. How about that? They've already sold that out, and they've redone Key Arena to put themselves in a position to do this.
Yeah, it would be a slam dunk mark, and maybe it would lead to an NBA team as well, it sounds like. So that would be great for that area, and certainly it would be great for the Western Conference, because it would balance out the conferences. Right now it's 31 teams in the NHL, with one more, being in the East. So it's, Vegas was the 15th team in the West. So yeah, that would kind of balance out the conferences a little bit. And, there would be a lot of strong non-traditional markets for hockey up there, closer to Canada, and has a great WHL program there. So, I think it's just a very safe market if it ends up working out.
And my understanding is the Vancouver people are also very much in favor of it. I mean, they actually very much. So we'll find out what they want to do with it. And for those who may not realize, Seattle is actually where Kevin Durant began his career. He actually was drafted by the Seattle Supersonics second overall before they moved to Oklahoma City. So,
yeah, and you were just, I heard Jason talking about those old Bulls teams. I can't help but think of the Gary Payton.
Oh, yes.
Right, those teams, didn't they meet in the finals two straight years?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
So great market for sports.
Oh, it's a great market. They love their sports teams up there. Now the Mariners are playing better again. They're drawing people again. All right. Thanks so much. Appreciate it very much, Pete. Great to talk to you again.
You too, and enjoy the draft. Hopefully we see some fireworks on the trade front. Thanks.
Pete Jensen, NHL.com. Mike Kosicki in the next half hour. Final half hour, Frank Podani, York Daily Record. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. And what's amazing about the Phillies is Rhys Hoskins, since he's come back from fouling that pitch off his jaw, has been hitting the cover off the ball. I will say this about the Phillies. And that's as follows. The woman yesterday, was it yesterday or the day before?
Yesterday.
The Philly fanatic was...
The hot dog incident, yes.
Firing hot dogs in the stands. Now, I want to point out to everybody that it's not like you go to some events and they take it and then they pull the strap back and they send it into the seats and whatever, and it kind of lofts in there. He fires it out of an air gun, which other people do, which means it's not simply a hot dog in a wrapper. How can that possibly cause any damage? It's wrapped up in tape.
Yeah, it was in duct tape, apparently.
Yeah, because that they have to be able to have, in order to push it out of there and to get some distance, it has to have some substance to it. Okay, so she gets hit. It knocks her glasses off. She's got a big-time black eye, and also because she had glasses on, you know, the bridge of her nose is all bruised up, too. This woman has been outstanding in, you know, she's rolled with the jokes. She says, I'm not going to sue the Phillies. I'm a big Phillies fan. I love to go to the games, and when I get a chance, I'm going to go back. Okay. I mean, that's, yeah, they've offered her tickets to another game. That's not good enough. Give her season tickets for the rest of the year. I mean, the seats aren't sold anyway. Plus, they got $50 million from Balco sitting in the bank since March 31st. Give her season tickets the rest of the year. Because her attitude has been exemplary. I don't think you could ask for anyone to have handled it any better. Because, look, you know, and don't give me this while you should be watching for such stuff. Nobody. The inning is over. So what are you doing when the inning is over? The fanatic runs out there. Were you supposed to pay attention to him? He's a sideshow. It's what he's supposed to be. So you pay attention to him if you think it's fun. But if you want to look at the person next to you and start chatting about whatever, about the game, or, hey, did you forget to turn off the lights? You turned off the stove, right? Or, hey, don't forget, we've got to go. We've got that picnic coming up this weekend. Or if you want to look at the program or whatever, it's between innings. So your attention is not on the field. And this, hey, we're going to give her tickets to a game. You're going to give her tickets to a game? Give her season tickets the rest of the year. In fact, I'd give it to her for next year, too. And then after that, tell her, hey, look, okay, that's the cutoff. Why not? She's not going to sue you. Because there are a lot of people out there that would. And then we can start debating about, you know, hot dogs and things like that. But I think she's handled it. I mean, could you script anybody handling it better than she has? I'd give her season tickets. It's not, you're not sold out. You're not sold out. You're not close to selling out. You want to make your organization look good? Give her season tickets. What's it going to hurt? What do you think? Everybody's going to somehow, some way, try and throw themselves in front of a hot dog so they can get season tickets too? I don't think so. I mean, that's, I mean, seriously, I think that, to me, I think that's what they should do. Because, again, the way she's handled it has been, if you're the Phillies, you're sitting going, wow, can't handle any better than this. She's laughed at herself. She's laughed at the jokes about her. And have you seen the picture of her, Matt?
Have not.
She got banged up. I mean, she's got she's got a big black eye. And she's got, because she was wearing glasses, the bridge of her nose also is bruised as well. And I guess she's been told, look, it's going to get and look a little worse before it starts looking better. And, you know, I mean, it's not the Fanatic's fault. He's firing this thing up there, whatever.
Apparently, though, I believe that they are not going to have the Fanatic shoot those out anymore, if I heard correctly today on Philadelphia Sports Radio.
Is it? Okay. But give her season tickets. Do the right. I mean, you're not sold out.